You're listening to AIB Market Talk, bringing you financial market insights from AIB's experts.
Hello and welcome to our AIB Market Update on Tuesday the 18th of April 2024. I'm Jane Kavanagh from our Corporate Treasury Desk and I'm joined this week by AIB Senior Economist John Fahey to discuss recent market events, interest rate outlooks, customer questions and maybe some snap questions at the end, John, if we've got a bit of time. So looking back, John, before we turn our attention to the US, we had the latest quarterly update from the IMF last week. And while there was a little change to the forecast in January and October last, when you look under the bonnet, there's a little bit more to it.
Yeah, when you look at the underlying details of the report, I suppose a few things come across. As you say there, the forecasts weren't greatly changed from their previous update in January and also compared to where they were in October. But I suppose what we would highlight, what they're calling out for the global economy this year of 2.8% growth and next year 3%. Indeed, if you look at their forecasts out over the next 5 years, it's basically has the global economy stuck on a 3% growth rate out to 2027. This is a fairly low growth rate for the global economy in historic terms. So it just highlights, you know, that weaker growth outlook and maybe, you know, lower growth trajectory that's there from a global economy perspective. And the other key thing, I suppose, what we would call out on it is in their assessment of the outlook and where the risks lie. You know, while there was tentative signs earlier this year that the world economy could achieve a soft landing in terms of slower growth against the tightening of monetary policy, in other words, increase in interest rates, the fact that, you know, the recent turmoil we've seen in the financial sector, as well as core inflation proven fairly sticky and uncertainty high, they call out the risks of a harder landing in the global economy has increased since their last update. And what we would highlight too is when you look at, you know, the key advanced economies, you know, the US economy could be most at risk to a downturn, given the stresses in the banking system there and also concerns about greatest tightening in credit conditions that are there in the US. So, you know, they would be the key points from that.
John, you mentioned 3% growth rate is quite low, especially going back historically. Where would that have ordinarily have been, or where should it be?
Well, I suppose if you look at trend growth for before the pandemic and that, probably would have looked at global growth closer to 4% at least.
Okay, just to put it in perspective. And then I suppose looking to the US.
In terms of where we are from a US economy perspective, well, I suppose there's a lot of uncertainty there now. There's bigger risks in the US of a fall off in growth. So we have seen, you know, data generally has been better than expected, but fairly subdued growth is expected this year in the US of less than 1%. And the concerns are that you could get some contraction there in any given quarter. And really the key thing is from a US economy viewpoint is that this additional headwind or challenge is there now because of that financial sector turmoil and the tightening in credit conditions. And if you look at the US economy, you know, in the region of 40% of businesses are financed by small to mid-sized regional banks rather than the large-scale banks. And where this stress is most evident is in that category. So if those banks tighten credit conditions substantially, then it's another headwind to growth and would slow the overall growth there. So, you know, you could have, in essence, a credit crunch developing in the US economy.
Doing the job effectively that interest rate hikes.
Yeah, so that's the knock-on effect then that, and the Fed themselves have talked around this, different Fed speakers, that, you know, if this tightening in credit conditions happens, well, in effect, it's similar to impact of a rate hike. But also you have to bear in mind, too, that we've had a fairly aggressive pace of tightening from the Fed Reserve over the last roughly 12 months. And there's a lagged impact from where that starts to impact the economy. You know, interest rate hikes have potentially a 12 to 18 month lagged impact on the real economy. So those impacts are still being felt, even if the Fed does pause and doesn't hike any further through this year. Those effects of previous increases will come to bear on top of the potential for, you know, much tighter credit conditions in the US economy facing US businesses. Hence why we would, you know, highlight the risk there for the US economic outlook at the moment.
And while rates had been forecasted at its height, what, maybe the end of beginning of March, to peak at 5.6%, what are we looking at now then for the States?
Well, so the market's not ruling out the potential for another rate hike. So we have had over the last couple of days some what we call hawkish commentary from members of the US Federal Reserve. In other words, some of them still talk about potential for more interest rate increases. So the market's not completely ruling out another 25 basis points increase in the US. if you think at the moment, the Fed funds rate is currently trading at a midpoint trading range of 4.875 of its trading range. So, you know, you could potentially have another 25 basis points there. And as you say, that's a big difference, because even though, you know, it gets above 5%, you know, the market not that long ago thought rates would peak closer to 5.6%. But the market still is pricing in 50 basis points roughly of rate cuts by the end of this year. So, you know, Fed, the market view is pretty much near to its peak, if not already at it. Okay. But it sees 50 basis points coming through the second half of the year and further rate cuts through 2024. And, you know, that's was already expected before these stresses in the financial sector. You know, the general view was that the Fed would start to cut rates towards the end of this year into next year because of the fact that inflation was expected to fall back as well of slower growth meant that the Fed would reverse policy. So where we are at the moment is potentially one more rate hike priced in from the Fed, but the market's still pricing in at least 50 basis points of rate cuts by the end of the year.
Interesting. And on the flip side then, markets looking to 75 basis points hikes in total from the ECB. So the deposit rate peaking now at 3.75%. That's up from 3.5% about a month ago.
Yeah, so just basically last week, really, we saw the market move to price in an additional 25 basis points. Now, there's a lot of volatility in futures contracts. So if we were to do this podcast on any given day, there could be variances in it. But what is clear, though, is that in terms of where we are, the market expects more rate hikes from the ECB compared to the Fed. But obviously, in relative terms, ECB rates will still peak well below where Fed rates are at the moment and potentially could go slightly higher. So as you say there, on the back of some hawkish comments last week from some ECB governing council members, the market moved to price in an additional 25 basis points on the 50 that was already priced in. So we'd see your depo rate peaking around 3.75%. Now the market thinks that it will remain at that rate, broadly speaking, to the end of the year, and rate cuts won't really come into the horizon till 2024.
So in summary then, for our customers, markets currently looking at the ECB, and currently obviously being the operative word, markets currently looking at the ECB deposit rate peaking at 3.75%. The Bank of England then at 4.75%, which would be a further 50 basis points we're looking at out of the UK. And the Fed then somewhere between 5 and 5.25.
Yeah, that'd be because the Fed does it as a target range rather than a point. So at the moment, the midpoint of its range where the Fed funds rate is 4.875. So another 25 basis points on that will bring you to the midpoint of their range of 5.125. So as you say, at the moment, the market's pricing in, they're already currently higher than elsewhere, but more rate hikes coming from the ECB and the BOE versus where the Fed is at the moment.
We'll narrow that gap. And then leaving last week behind, this week, talk us through what we can expect this week, John.
Well, in terms of data this week, because last week it was centered on mainly US data. So this week you get the flash PMIs from all the major advanced economies for April. So the reason this is important, the PMIs, purchasing manager indices, are high frequency data. They're survey indicators. So we get them on a monthly basis and it's an April number. So it give us an early read on how the major economies are performing at the start of Q2. You know, what we've seen so far, even though the horizon is much cloudier now and much more challenging, is that data has held up better than expected in the first quarter of the year. But we do expect to start to see the survey data exhibit some signs of weakening or softening in activity. We haven't seen a lot of it yet, so that's why we look to the flash PMIs, just to see is there any signs of that at the start of Q2.
Looking towards the FX then, taking everything into account that we've been talking about, those interest rate differentials have been one of the key drivers in terms of how they're performing. And again, it's really been kind of about the dollar. And against the euro, it broke 110 this week. What can we expect?
So if we take a step back first, you mentioned the interest rate differentials, and they were the key factor last year in terms of, you know, dollar very much in the ascendancy. If you recall, we did test below parity in terms of euro dollar. But what we did see is once the ECB and also the Bank of England started to get more aggressive in the pace of their own rate tightening, it helped both those currencies regain some ground against the dollar, especially the euro getting back above parity. So we started this year around 104. And last week we did trade to a year-to-date high of 110.75, and we settled in around close to 110 as we're currently speaking. So, you know, the reversal there is that interest rate differentials were in favour of the dollar for much of last year, but now, given our conversation earlier and the outlook for rates, it's moved more so to be supportive of both the euro and sterling against the dollar. So that's where it plays out in terms of, you know, that interest rate outlook and then how currency markets adapt and develop on the back of that.
And cable came off. That was over 125 last week, but then following those hawkish comments, that came off a little bit again back below it.
Yeah, so one thing we saw last week was just the sensitivity of currency markets to central bank news flow. So in the early part of the week, we had hawkish ECB comments, which helped euro dollar move above 110 to 110.75. But then on last Friday, we saw some hawkish comments from the Fed around the potential for, you know, more rate hikes, even though the market's not convinced that there'd be anything any other than maybe one at the most. So that did help the dollar regain some ground, although euro was still generally higher, both against the dollar and sterling last week because of the ECB rate out that the market's expecting. So from where we are at the moment in terms of our currency forecast, the midpoint of a trading range for Q3 probably is 108 to 114 of a trading range, which will give you a midpoint of 111 for the second quarter. And, you know, we have it trading up towards 113, 114 as we move through to the end of the year. So some gradual continuation of the trend we're seeing there in terms of euro gaining ground against the dollar. And in terms of your question on cable, upward move in sterling against the dollar too, against that background. So what we see in terms of, in short, is, you know, the softer dollar, that trend continuing through the year. So sterling against dollar getting up towards 126 in the first half of the year and 128, close to 130 potentially by the end of the year, if that interest rate outlook develops, where you potentially have the Bank of England and the ECB hiking rates and the Fed starting to turn to potentially cutting interest rates before the end of the year. So that playing into that weaker dollar outlook story.
And euro sterling then caught in the middle?
Yeah, euro sterling has been fairly dull and some customers probably are thankful of that in terms of the lack of volatility there, given what we've seen over the last couple of years in the euro sterling pair. So, you know, we have it really in a 85 to 91p trading range, which will give you a midpoint of in or around 88p because the trading ranges in euro sterling have been fairly limited over the last while. So we see a continuation of that trend and no major breakout of recent ranges.
Thanks, John. So we had a number of questions from our customers, a lot of what we've already discussed, but one had a question about the Irish economy, just asking about the outlook very quickly there.
Well, the backdrop for the economy is one of strong performance, but obviously when you look at the Irish economy, it's a small open economy, so it is sensitive and vulnerable to the global backdrop. And we discussed at the very start of the podcast, you know, that weakening global backdrop and the risks that it's weaker than expected. So, you know, the Irish economy won't be immune from that. So we will see slower growth this year compared to the growth rates of what we had last year, but still very strong growth compared to other economies, relatively speaking. But if you look at underlying growth, so GDP is a distorted number for the Irish economy, obviously, because of the activities of multinationals. When you look at underlying growth, if you look at what the ESRI and the Central Bank have published over the last while for modified final domestic demand, they see that underlying growth somewhere in the region of 3 to 4% average over the next 2 years, which is down from the 8% we saw last year, but still very strong growth compared to elsewhere. And, you know, the Irish economy has a number of strong fundamentals in place. And as we deal with this challenging outlook, it's much different position to where we were during the great financial crisis, especially from a debt dynamics perspective. There's much less debt in the economy now. The economy has gone through a period of deleveraging. So both from a household, private sector, and also government perspective, that debt overhang is no longer there. So that's a key difference, especially if you're dealing with a situation where potentially tighter credit conditions in markets and yields moving higher. And also as a result of the pandemic, you do have buildup of savings that have happened there, which should be supportive of the domestic economy on that side.
So a lot more stable, and that will give the consumers a little bit of relief from the 8%, as you say, 9% we've been seeing over the last couple of months. John, I might finish off with a couple of rapid fire questions. I put Dan under the spotlight last time out, so it's only right fair that you get the same. Euro dollar, sustained break above 110, yes or no?
Yes.
And euro sterling, same question I actually asked Dan last time out. On a scale of 1 to 10, chances of euro sterling breaking 90p?
5 out of 10.
Okay. ECB, will they go 325s or 150 and 125?
I think it'd probably be 50 and then 25.
And finally, then ECB cutting rates. Will they cut rates half one next year, 2024?
Potentially, yes. No? Yes, strong chance of that.
Okay, then, John, many thanks for the always comprehensive update, and a big thanks indeed to our customers, colleagues and listeners for joining us on our podcast. If you have any questions you would like raised next time, drop me a line. And of course, as always, to stay up to date with latest market developments, please subscribe to AIB's Market Talk wherever you get your podcasts. And we will talk to you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of AIB Market Talk. Allied Irish Banks PLC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. AIB NI is a trademark used under licence by AIB Group UK PLC. Authorised by the Prudential Regulation Authority and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and the Prudential Regulation Authority. Allied Irish Bank GB and Allied Irish Bank GB Savings Direct are trademarks used under licence by AIB Group UK PLC. Authorised by the Prudential Regulation Authority and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and the Prudential Regulation Authority.